And start the live stream. Just a moment. There it goes. Just a few seconds more. All right, we're all set. Take it away.
Just a few seconds.
All right, welcome everyone. We'll call this meeting to order, the September 8th meeting of the Salem Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. We'll jump right into roll call. I'm the chair, Dylan McDowell, and going through the list, Keith Norris.
I'm here.
Alan Alexander.
Here.
Woody Dukes.
Here.
Rick Hartwig.
Here.
Al Holland.
Here.
Joan Lloyd.
Here.
Debbie Miller.
Here.
And Dave Friedmaker will not be joining us tonight. Well, welcome everyone. I know we took a month off, so it's good to see you all again. Here we're at the tail end of the summertime, but still got the heat. I'm excited. We're gonna talk at the end of the meeting today under new business about our retreat. So next month in October, at the end of that, we will finally have a chance to all meet up in person and talk about SPRAB issues. And so that'll be great. Excited to hear all of your thoughts as we plan that out and think about the agenda. But let's start with the approval of the minutes. So are there any thoughts, edits, or changes to the minutes from the last meeting?
Move to approve.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded, all right, we'll do our voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. All right, minutes are approved. Public comment. I know we had no written comment tonight, and I do not see any members of the public in our chat. So the main, tonight may be a fairly efficient meeting, we'll see in terms of time, but the main focus tonight is our board items and presentations is a recognition for Tony Whitler and Patricia Farrell for the work they did. I know Tony was hoping to join us tonight. I do not see her in the participant list yet. But we can do a quick recognition. And then I believe both are, there were actual certificates that were sent to them as well, right? There we go. Wonderful.
I will send a copy for y'all to see and I will hand deliver them next week to both of them.
Wonderful. Well, maybe we should start there. If you could just share a little, I had a hard time. Could you just hold it up again and just share what it says for everyone just so they know? Oh, you're on mute, Rob.
It says certificate of appreciation. This certificate is awarded to Tony Whitler for outstanding dedicated service to the Salem Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Signed, Dylan McDowell, SPRAB Chair, and Peter Fernandez, Public Works Director. And Patricia's would be very similar. This would have her name on it.
Wonderful. Well, I wanted to take just a minute to say a quick public thank you to the work Tony and Patricia did and just invite others to as well. I feel like I know one thing Tony did a really good job of when SPRAB members would retire was making sure we all took a moment to appreciate them and she made certificates up. So I thought it was fitting that we do something for her as well, given her years of service. So for me, Tony was a really welcoming presence from day one. I remember when we used to meet in person, Tony always was welcoming people at the door, making sure they signed in, felt welcome. You know, back in the days when we had people in the room, it was really nice to have her being there to make everyone feel like they were part of the meeting. She always made sure there was food and drink, which is very important. There are always some snacks at the meeting. And I feel like with Tony, you always knew that she had the community's interest at heart to make sure that the parks were going to be as strong as possible. And that everyone was going to benefit. I think her dedication to supporting the volunteer board and making sure all of us felt included and involved was really on display. And so she was an incredible asset that made SPRAB what it is today. So I will just publicly say I'm grateful for Tony's work and helping me get up to speed on SPRAB and learn everything I did in the time that I've been here so far. I'll open the floor if anyone else would like to share anything, knowing that it is recorded. So even though Tony can't be here tonight, that she can see these comments later.
I would like to say that it's Joan Lloyd. Sorry, I have a different screen on my phone. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here to raise my hand. But as far as Tony goes, of course, I just joined SPRAB but she was very competent and helpful with work that was done on McRae and Englewood Parks. And I want to thank her so much for that. Always, always pleasant. And Patricia Farrell was on the Urban Forestry Committee, making up the strategic plan and getting her tree mails, and a pleasure to talk with her, work with her.
Wonderful. Would anyone else like to make any comments?
Yeah, I joined during the Zoom period. So my contact with Tony was great in terms of making me feel included. And even though I had no clue what I was doing the first couple of meetings and constantly showed that, she was very, she was wonderful to work with. It's really hard to see a colleague of a fan of the Dodgers leave us. So I may be the only Dodger fan on the board now, and I will miss her greatly.
Nothing builds relationships like sports teams, right?
especially winning ones.
Alan, did you have your hand up? So you're on mute. Make sure you unmute.
I am. I had the privilege of working with Tony early, right after I came to the city of Salem. And she was just a dedicated worker and such a pleasant person to be around. As things unfolded and she went to parks, she still was a resource, and she always made working for the Neighborhood Association. I always knew we had an ally when we discussed issues about parks, and she gave us ideas about how to get them out.
Oh, Alan, it went back on mute for us there.
She always kept such a quiet and professional demeanor, and she made you feel like she was devoting all of her attention to your project every time we did something, and that's so rare. And I also know for years she worked well beyond her job description to get things done. So I was so happy when the city finally recognized her and she was promoted into a more professional standing. But she just, Parks lost a real, real resource. Now she's still within the city, I understand, but Rob's going to have a hard time finding somebody with the willingness and the knowledge that Tony brought to Liaison with Sprab.
Well said, Alan. Yeah, Debbie.
I just wanted to say that I don't know Tony well. I just, the Bailey Ridge Park, I was very involved with that, the master planning process. And I was just very impressed with how she listened to everybody in the meetings. She had a lot of patience, even though some of the questions were repetitive. She made it feel like the questions you had were really important and like she considered them. And I think she just was very professional.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I also want to, I know, Joan, you mentioned Patricia as well, and we do have two certificates. So I want to welcome folks to say anything about Patricia. I will just say that I was really excited. I had the chance to work with Patricia closely in two different capacities through SPRAB. The first being a tree subcommittee that I think Woody, you and I are the two that are left from that. But we had a 5-person tree subcommittee really working on some updates to city code, looking on outreach to about public trees and trees on private property, and felt like a really good opportunity where we got a lot done in terms of really having an impact. And Patricia was a driving force to help spearhead that and make sure the work actually turned into real results. So I really appreciated her effort and dedication there. And the second time was as part of the Climate Action Plan Task Force. And I will very openly say that she did a very wonderful job steering a process that was not always always easy, in the sense that there was a lot of competing priorities, a lot of opinions, a lot of people with different timelines, plans for the city with timelines. And I think she did a really good job of making sure that moved forward, and I appreciate her dedication to making sure everything always worked and that we're always paying attention to details, whether it's a parks issue, a climate issue, or something else. So definitely going to miss her knowledge and the work she did to move everything forward. I'll open the floor again if anyone would like to share anything for Patricia, once again, knowing she'll have the recording. Woody.
Yeah, I first with Patricia, I first met her when I was with Joan on the Community Forestry Advisory Committee to rewrite or to write the Community Forestry Strategic Plan. And then I was later on the committee with that. We would not have anywhere near that plan without her. She was the main force in that plan. And then later on the committee to a rewrite of Chapter 86, the tree code. And she just helped that flow and move forward and come out as good as it did at the time. And then with Tony, I always enjoyed just walking in the door at the early meetings, you know, and she'd be there and it just made it seem like it was comfortable when she was there, and everything would work and just perfectly. I don't know. I really enjoyed Tony. Going to miss both of them.
Absolutely. Alan, what did you want to say something?
Just like with Tony, I'm so old, I work with a lot of people, but I did have the pleasure of working with Patricia a little later on as it came with airport issues. And she was always a reliable and professional sounding board when we were trying to get to the bottom of some environmental issue. She could give you the details about it and an unvarnished and an unbiased opinion about the best way to go. So I always appreciated her comments. And I saw her counsel many times unofficially on environment issues that came up to the airport. So the city's going to miss her, and she's going to be difficult to replace, much like we talked about Tony.
All right. Well, I would encourage anyone, if you think of anything else you'd like to share later, please feel free to reach out to Tony and Patricia directly. And Rob, thank you for delivering those certificates to them. Rob, this might actually be a good chance right now if you could just focus in on the vacancies and how that's going. I believe there's some interviews happening now, I know, since the August update, and then Nancy Harrington's, who we heard from. So might be a good opportunity for you to share that.
To recount what we are, we're having a recruitment right now for two vacancies for both my former position and Tony's former position. We are seeking planners 1, 2, or 3. So that's a series of classifications the city has for planners, kind of the whole spectrum. So depending on their experience and qualifications, they, you know, could be a 3 and a 2, or we might underfill those positions. We have received applications. We got a pretty good response, we have evaluated those applications, and we've invited a group to come interview next week. And so the process is moving forward. I'm hoping, you know, hopefully maybe late October, perhaps we'll have someone starting, or hopefully two people starting. And I'll just say that we are kind of casting a wide net. We're looking for park planners and natural resource planners, but ideally someone who has a unique combination of the two. If that's not what it turns out, maybe we get a park planner and a natural resource person, that'd be fine. But we're doing this as a combined recruitment with the hopes that we could get some really talented people in.
Thank you so much, Rob. Really appreciate that update. And that brings us to item number 6 already, of board member updates. So my main update was about the retreat, which we have under new business, so we can come back to that. Does anyone else have updates they'd like to share? Keith, yeah.
Yeah, just as a note to say that my role representing SPRAB to the City of Salem Public Library Strategic Planning Committee is ongoing. We've been having discussions where we're honing in on a mission statement and a vision statement and several different imperatives for the library to be working on over the next 5 years. So it's been a good process and a very robust process over the past several months, and it's continuing forward.
Wonderful. And Al Holland, I saw your hand was up.
Yes, thank you. in the course of my week, I tend to bike through Minto Brown twice, four times a week. And I've noticed the good work from maintenance on bringing to light rough spots in the bicycle and footpaths. It's apparent, it's probably from transportation maintenance that I see they're painting white stripes or white paint over a rough spot so that bicyclists and pedestrians are a little bit more visually alerted, at least to the fact that there's a hazard there and can hopefully try to avoid it. And I think that's forward thinking. It's a good way to help reduce some accidents. I'd like to hope that we will at some point in the near future have the budget to remove or repair such hazards rather than simply highlight them. But that's a good start. And I acknowledge and thank them for that good efforts. Along the same lines, the stripes along the, there should be stripes around blind corners on those same paths. There are bicyclists going at an easy clip, and it's only a matter of time before an accident happens when somebody cuts a corner and comes into close contact with somebody else coming the other way. So it would be helpful, I think, if we could stripe those around the blind corners a little bit, or maybe a sign that says keep right, or just something that would probably reduce the risk of collisions, because there's a lot of sharp corners that sometimes people are going around quickly. Along the same line, it could happen with signs that with there is an onslaught of e-bikes coming our way, and Minto Brown Island is going to be a target for them. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. Full of lots of paths. That place is getting more and more full of e-bikes. We should have some signs up there that say something about speed. There are a couple, but they're few and far apart. So I think some consideration of signs, something that says walk right, pass left, or sound signal for passing, pass on left, various things of those sorts, I think would be a good idea to reduce some chances of close encounters of unpleasant kinds. I think that's about all I need to say, that, but I appreciate the bike stuff. I continue to talk with people who are very enthusiastic about the concept of a bike path along the river to Kaiser Rapids. Everybody I talk to in biking land says, do it, find some way to get it done. And I will stay with that in hopes of that happening at some time in our lifetime.
I love that enthusiasm. I actually want to follow up on that because I've also noticed those blind corners, especially as you get closer to Homestead Road on the, I've had some encounters myself, thankfully no accidents, but Rob, my understanding is that you all are cognizant of not having too many signs on Minto given just the type of park it is and whatnot, but is that something that's been considered or could be looked at, even just a simple, you know, yield or caution sign or something?
I would yield to Jennifer if she's available to address this one. I will say that we are very cognizant of sign pollution in our parks. When we have a sign up, we want people to pay attention to them. With that said, Jen, are you available?
I am. So Dylan, both you and Rob are directly on target. We try to balance, especially at those parks, not overly creating a bunch of signs throughout the park. We've found that the more signs that you put up, sometimes they just kind of blend into the background in the sense that people don't acknowledge or recognize them because they've seen them so much. There was such frequency. So we try to be strategic in where we put some signage so it can be the most effective. I took some notes as to both of your comments relative to those specific areas, and we can look to see if there might be some ability to kind of mitigate that through some signage or the existing signage that maybe we might be able to pair that up with. So we can certainly look at that, but you know, we do try to balance how many signs we put up out there.
My comments, I don't mean to intend that they need signage in and of itself. I'm just concerned about the close corners and maybe striping in on the middle instead.
Yeah,
or something to that effect, just to try to keep people separate.
It's a really good point. I think that you're right, that it's helpful to get out in front of that before you have a collision that causes issues down the road. So Jen, I appreciate you looking into that, and thank you. Alan, I saw your hand up, and then Woody.
Yeah, I just want to second what Al was saying about these electric scooters. They're becoming very popular, and it looked like they're a lot of fun, but they're also, they got some hazards to them. I was last month in Charlotte, North Carolina for a few days, and they've got a great urban park district and got hit by a electric scooter. The young man didn't, you know, he was just inexperienced, and it was new to it, and he was slight heel, and he came flying up behind me and saw me and couldn't brake in time. Fortunately, didn't get injured, but there's so many of them. Plus, people leave them everywhere. They're scattered, you know, you got to dodge around them. They leave them just leave them anywhere. So I don't know the solution. They're very popular, but boy, I'd hate to see our parks become, you know, just saturated with them, because it sort of takes the enjoyment away from other people.
Thank you for that, Al. I think it's a really good point. Woody, anything else you want to add? Oh, Woody, you're still on mute.
Question I have is related to the blind corners. Are they, is it plant material, or what is the blind? When those trails were first opened up, they were really opened up. You could see down in through the trees and everything. And then over time, hawthorns and other brushy type trees would fill in that space right along to where it was actually almost like walls on either side of the trail. So what is the causing the blind corner?
Typically foliage, yes. Trees, brush. Maybe the solution is trimming those things. I don't know. That's more labor intensive than painting a stripe down the middle, though.
Yeah, but at least you'll be able to see, and then it's the sign thing. But you know, is
yeah, I agree with the sign controversy. I'm not pushing for that. Maybe strategically, as is stated, is a good idea. But I like the idea of keeping the signage down. But those bikes, they will go over 20 miles an hour. And people are, unless they are cautioned or alerted to something, they're going to be pushing it like that. And as it become more and more popular, we're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah, I know that at the state level, there's been some legislation, and I think more is likely to come. I know a lot of states and jurisdictions are looking at e-bike rules specifically about which trails they can be on, where they can go, and speed limits and whatnot. So it's a good thing for us all to keep an eye on. I think that, you know, our role as Parks Board too, is if we see that in other cities, like what Alan was sharing in South Carolina, of what is working well or where there's some challenges, I think it's helpful for us to bring that back and share it with folks like Rob and Jen, so they can integrate that into some of the thinking they have here. Debbie, yeah.
Yeah, I had two comments. I ride through Minto Brown a lot too. And I agree that there are a couple blind corners that are pretty dangerous. And I was in Paris, and when I was looking at, and we went biking in Paris, and they're doing a lot for biking in Paris right now. They're really expanding bike lanes, but they're talking about banning scooters because they tried to lower the speed limit for them and they weren't obeying it, and they were still having collisions with pedestrians. And so now they're talking like they might ban scooters completely. I think the speed limit signs, I agree that they're hard to look at in a park like Minto, but I think a lot of people don't know that there's a speed limit because there's not that many signs. So I think given how many e-bikes and how many scooters are now taking over, I think it might be worthwhile to at least put a few more signs up so that people realize that there is a speed limit. I've only seen one or two in the times I've been biking there. And the second thing I had is not related to this, but it's I was trying to look up parks to visit, and I visited a couple parks. And I noticed that the website is really very bad. It's not been updated. Like for example, I went to Faircrest Park, and it's a beautifully developed park, but the website has no pictures and it doesn't say anything about it being developed. It says undeveloped. I just feel like it would be nice to be able to look up a park and find out what amenities it has and see a couple pictures, just because the pictures that are on there are just generic pictures and I think some people might think the park looks like that, and they don't. So that was my comments.
That's a very well taken point, Debbie. I know that we've shared some updates with this, or some suggestions in the past about adding some basic information in terms of like how many parks that Salem has, have number of acres, trails, things like that. I was just trying to look at the website right now myself to see about the photos, but Robert, Jen, I know that the website has been kind of an ongoing project with the new one coming out. Would you like to share any updates there? Yeah. Jen, I saw your hand was up.
Sorry. So you're right, Dylan. So that they are developing because the website previously was not super efficient, and there was some difficulty in folks finding stuff. So they are updating the website information. Parks has worked actively for the last few months in updating kind of how the parks information is shared, what would be the best formatting, as well as including pictures that are relative to those parks, looking at the amenities so that as folks look at the website, they can get some specific information of parks that are in their areas, or if they want to search it by, gosh, which parks have a shelter, those kinds of things. So providing different kinds of access for folks as they're trying to look things up. So that's actively, we've been engaged in that process and updating that, but it's fair to say that the whole kind of migration to the next website and getting that laid out from a city perspective has been very involved and labor intensive and has taken a little longer than a lot of us maybe would hope for that information to be shared. But it is something that we understand, we're working on, and we're working with the entities that are putting that project together to update that as we're able to do that.
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate that. And Debbie, thank you for, first off, it's always good that you're using the website. And I think that's, as we think about the way the public engages, it's always good for us to think about what information we could share. All right. Anything else on board member updates before we move to information reports? All right. Well, information reports, urban forestry is up first. Just as a reminder, we have the August and the September in here. So a lot on the emerald ash borer in particular. I know I'm not seeing Mylan yet. So I guess if we have any questions, we can direct them and perhaps Jen can get an answer for us. Is there anything folks would like to raise? Okay. Oh, yes, Rick.
Yeah, we have a lot of ash trees in our neighborhood, and I walk by a bunch of them regularly, and I know that the emerald ash borer is coming, and some trees have, they say that they're going to be taking them out, and in other ash trees they're not, and I'm not an arborist. But I keep looking at those and try to tell the difference between the ones they're taking out and the ones they're not. And I just haven't seen any difference. So I don't know if I need to be educated as to what a healthy tree looks like versus an unhealthy tree. But I was having a hard time. It seems like the ones that are staying are the bigger ones, maybe more mature ones. I don't know. But anyway, I was hoping that Mylan would be on so we could talk about that. I also wanted to compliment him on the Statesman Journal article they did on him a while back. It's important for the public to know the people that are doing really good things in the community. So I hope the Statesman Journal continues to do that. Very nice article, and good for Mylan, and hopefully there'll be a lot more of those. But anyway, I'm just very confused as to difference between a healthy ash tree and an unhealthy ash tree when they all, I'm looking at every roots, I'm looking at the trunk, I'm looking at all the branches, And I can't tell the difference between ones that are taken out and the ones that are not.
Yeah. Well, always good to call an arborist, but thankfully we do have Woody on the line and as our certified arborist. So Woody, is there anything you'd like to share since Mylon's not here?
Well, I'm not sure which specific tree is it he's talking about, but in the ones that I've seen, like on Summer Street, flame ash, there are some of them that are posted and some that are not, and some of the ones that are posted do tend to look not quite as healthy as the ones that they're leaving, but I'm not sure what the specific plan is. I mean as far as taking out being proactive about removing the trees, so I'd like to know a little bit more about that myself. But
I see Jen has her hand up, so she might be able to add a little bit of context for us.
Sorry, I feel like I'm jumping in a lot this meeting.
No, it's great.
So what I can do is I can speak to Mylon about coming prepared if we want to do that in October. I'm not sure how full that agenda is, but he's actively involved in this issue. And so having him come in October, kind of prepared to discuss that and maybe speaking to SPRAB about the criteria that they look at, how the inspections, kind of what their approach and their strategy is so far in dealing with that. So I know it's not only been internal, but with external partners as well. This has been a discussion point. So if that would be helpful, we can have him as a report or in whatever, type of process you want to him to utilize in sharing that information at a future meeting in more detail as a discussion point.
Woody, it sounds like that might be helpful. Didn't mean to talk over you, Woody.
No, I'm sorry. I just, in general, in proactivity about removing weaker trees is because they tend to have put out, like not a pheromone per se, but that draws the insect to them. It's a general thing in nature about taking out the weaker plants first, but when there's a the insect gets to be such a large number, then they start killing all of the trees, not just the weaker ones. So they might be starting with the weaker ones that's what I know.
That makes a lot of sense. Rick, would you like to follow up with Mylon separately, or do you think it would be helpful for us to maybe have a fuller conversation on this next time? I know definitely we can talk about it during this report next month. But
next time is fine. Also, I was looking at the reports here and saw that they're really looking into some type of injection,
mm-hmm.
like a. It's like a vaccine, for borers. I don't know, but they can update on that too. I mean it's got to be environmentally good. You're not going to put a lot of chemicals in. You have to be very careful. But next month is fine. I mean.
I think that's a good point. I noticed that it's tree as in, I think is how maybe you say it. And I did note that he said it's not a neonicotinoid, which I know is the one that's been harming a lot of bee populations. So I appreciate that the city is on top of that, like you were saying, of making sure it's environmentally friendly with some of the pesticides or chemicals that they're using.
Well,
Woody.
Well, boring insects are the hardest ones to deal with. Look at Dutch elm disease back east that wiped out hundreds of thousands of American elm trees, whole blocks, whole streets, whole cities almost. They're under the bark, they're just almost impossible to get to. Here there's the emerald ash borer, there's the bronze birch borer, there's the thousand canker disease, it's the borer that gets into black walnuts. They're just systemic is about the only way you can get at them is either through the root system or through injection. And even then, it's just hard to get to them and for them to take up enough material to kill them. So that's why I'm sure he's really so worried about the ash, the emerald ash borer, not just by how many trees they'll kill.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Woody. Appreciate that additional context. And Jen, it does sound like either as part of Mylan's update next time, some of the criteria, we could talk about it then, or as an agenda item. But perhaps you can talk with Mylan and figure out what makes the most sense based on the work he's doing.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. And I'll make sure he's kind of prepared to have those discussions.
Wonderful. All right, well, let's go into the Parks and Natural Resource Planning update. And just as a reminder, there are two of them in here for two different months. Rob, a quick question I had was, I wanted to clarify with the Minto Island plant buffer, how far on the trail is that going? Can you just let us know what the range is on the paved trail?
Yeah, I'd have to confirm, but I believe it's 20 feet on each side of the trail. So it is really just the edge of the mica trail.
Is it, and when you say the mica trail, this is a little bit of ignorance. Is that the entire paved trail on Minto, or is there a specific portion that is considered under that?
Yeah, so the Minto Island Conservation Area is the northern section of Minto Brown Island Park. Mm-hmm. So it is the path when you directly get off the Peter Courtney Minto Island Bridge, and as you move into the park. So it's until you get to a kiosk, it's kind of like in the middle at a junction in the trail. So that would generally just describe the segment that's under the conservation.
It's area. Only that part. So it doesn't go down to the river after the kiosk, or doesn't go straight after that. Gotcha.
That's correct.
That's what I wasn't sure about. That makes sense. Other questions on the parks planning and natural resource update?
Do we have any information on the conclusions to Eagle Watch volunteers observations? Do we know how many birds were fledged and if they were disturbed by human activity?
We did receive confirmation through the program that the single chick did successfully fledge, and so that's excellent news. And also during the biggest concern about impacts to the fledging chick had associated with the big event we had, which was the Iron Man event. And we had a biological monitor in place to monitor the chick during the duration of the event. And it does appear that the event had no real impact. So that's really positive news. And we'll be reporting that to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service this year. And hopefully if there is another successful nesting next year, we will be good to proceed similar this year, keeping trails open, knowing now that it does appear that we can kind of coexist with the two uses there. So real positive, I believe.
Following up with that, speaking with Jennifer, there was a comment of two other nests, the one being more or less across from the Carrot River Front Carousel, in the reserve there in the northern section of Pinto Brown. There was an active nest that fledged, I believe, there as well, but I don't think that it was as actively monitored. And I'm curious if it was monitored at all and observed enough to know how many were fledged from that one. And the one that was south of the actual monitored nest too, Jennifer mentioned that there was one, and if there was any report on those.
Yeah, I apologize, but I don't believe we know about those other nests. The mining program was only focused on the one in the park. The one on the very northern tip of the island right across from Riverfront is actually on the Audubon Society's property. We are having discussions about expanding the monitoring program next year to include that nest as well. So hopefully they both are used again, and then we would have an opportunity to have the monitors kind of take advantage and look at both, because I think we are interested to know if the events we're holding at Riverfront Park could potentially be impacting the birds.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Rob? Okay, well, let's go into the park operations update. Partial reopening at Cascade Gateway, very exciting to see that. Our SPRAB retreat, excited that we'll have that on the agenda. Do folks have any questions for Jennifer? Okay, hearing none, we can move on into our parks and recreation side of things. Lots of great things happening as we wind down for the summer, at least. Obviously, there's going to be fall sports and everything. Any questions about the recreation update? I don't see Becky, but I'm sure, once again, Jennifer could help pass on any questions that we might have. Okay, hearing none. We can move into new business then. So the first one I see is on here is the annual report planning. And Rob, I'm assuming you might've added that there. I know that Tony had typically drafted that based on some of the work throughout the year, and would love to hear your thoughts on that and how we can be contributing or helping.
Yeah, thank you, Dylan. What I'd like to do is next week, I'd like to email out the last year's annual report and just give you all an opportunity to review it. And then I might prepare a discussion for next month's meeting.
That's great. That sounds like a good plan. So we can all plan, that'll be our homework for everyone, is come ready to talk about the annual report next time and make any suggestions, edits, or anything like that. All right. So next I want to talk about the annual the SPRAB retreat. Really excited, as we talked about at the start, to have some time in person with all of you. And I think this is going to be a really good chance for us. You know, I feel like the last 2 years has been a lot of kind of survival mode, in the sense of moving to the Zoom world, not knowing what was going to come next. And there's been some big emergencies in the city, like the ice storm. And so this can be a chance for us to really think about our role as SPRAB and what are the roles and responsibilities of SPRAB members, but also how we can try and be a little bit more proactive on some things. Thinking about like that park usage and planning subcommittee we had, trying to figure out ways where we can issue recommendations. We followed up. I will say I did one of the member updates I should have given, is I had a chance to talk with several counselors about the letter we wrote about wanting to be a little bit more involved, and all the counselors are supportive. And it sounds like there's some conversations underway to make sure we can have an agenda item in December when we do present the annual report. So I think a lot of that will hopefully move forward and be a good way for us to kind of continue with this retreat, or use this retreat as a way to make sure that good work is happening. So I'm going to take just a moment, and I want to share a draft agenda. I had a chance to talk with Rob and Jen about this. So let me just share this real quick. So this is what we're thinking for an agenda right now, and I'd love to get some feedback. And then I'll quickly talk through kind of the content that I've mapped out, and then welcome feedback from everyone now. And then also, as always, feel free to send ideas to Rob. So it looks like you can all see this. So thinking about roughly 9 to 1:30, it'll be at Pringle Hall. The space is already reserved. So thank you, Jen, for doing that. And starting with just a welcome and some coffees and pastries available. And then really kind of three I think for a moment there. Hopefully you can all hear me. Okay, I see nods now. Apologies for that. I was saying that the 11:15 is a break. So that's why there's a blank spot there. But there's three blocks. The first block is really thinking about SPRAB history and role review. I thought it would be helpful for us to all get a refresher on partially how SPRAB is set up, the history of SPRAB, but also how the Public Works Department is set up. I think Salem tends to be a little unique in some ways, that you have Parks and Recreation inside Public Works. And so we can get a kind of a refresher on that and remember kind of how this, what the role we have, what's in our purview. And then I've invited Councillor Hoy, who is soon to be mayor, to come, because if anyone watched the council meeting where we brought up our letter, he mentioned that one of his goals as mayor is to kind of do a review of boards and commissions and think about ways of increasing their engagement and effectiveness. So I think he can come and give a few remarks about what he's planning to help us think about that. The second part is thinking about our roles and opportunities for increased effectiveness. We were talking about, we being Rob, Jen, and I, about trying to find some goals that we could focus on and actually use the meetings for some work time, kind of instead of having subcommittees necessarily, thinking about whether there's things we'd review and come ready to talk about. One of the opportunities that's ripe, I think, is the Climate Action Plan natural resource goals. So actually putting our heads together of what are some recommendations or ideas the city should consider. So that way we're coming in really and trying to make the most use of this time every month. And I think we've also can talk about a few things like information on upcoming master plans and updates from staff. I know there's been some of those conversations this year, wanting to see a little bit more of a complete list and knowing where that information lies. So it'll be a chance for us to figure out what are some of the baseline information we want and what are some of the goals that we want to achieve ourselves. And then finally, as we think about participation and engagement, especially thinking about diversifying the board in the future and especially diversifying in regions as well, we've historically had a lot of West Salem participation, of which I am guilty, thinking about ways that we as board members can do more and thinking about that, Rick, you've made a great point a couple months ago about going to more neighborhood associations. And so how can we do that kind of stuff? And then finally, the last section, looking at some of the opportunities for SPRAB and maybe trying to pick one big thing that we could focus on. So as I mentioned earlier, we had a tree subcommittee a couple of years ago, and that actually came out of a retreat we had in person where we prioritized, figured out what we wanted to spend a little more time on. And so I think this is a chance for us to get back to that. But instead of a subcommittee, maybe try and work as a group. And then thinking in 2 years or so, well, in roughly a year, year and a half or so, there's going to be a comprehensive park master system plan update. And so that'll be something we can have on our horizon, as well as thinking about things like our Salem and others. So that is roughly the outline that I've provided. Once again, starting with the history, figuring out where we want to be more effective with the structure we have now, and then figuring out some priorities to focus on. I'd love to get some feedback from all of you of if you see something missing or if you have any other adjustments you'd like to make.
I think it looks good.
Great.
May I? It's Joan Lloyd. Like I said, I have this crazy screen and I don't know where I can raise my hand. I was just thinking about talking more about the funding for the parks and how the system development charges go for the new ones. And the older ones can, you know, apply for the SPIF grants, but can the new ones do that also? Is there competition for that money from the new parks?
That's a great point. And so maybe as part of our overview too, is thinking about some of the funding and just bringing back some clarity. I know that at the initial orientation, Jen does a really good job of kind of breaking down some of the funding streams. And so refreshing all of us on that might answer some of those questions. And then we can use that time to dive deeper as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great point. Debbie.
Yeah, I just would like to see something. I've been reading about how some of the stages that the parks are in development, what does stage one mean and stage two mean, and just having some kind of overview of how they go about funding, like Joan said, and how they go about all the different phases of development, timelines, things like that. I think that would be some basic information that I don't have. So,
great point. Keith?
Dylan, kind of along those same lines as Joan and Debbie, I think having that kind of assessment from staff on parks could be useful in kind of informing those opportunities that are ahead of us. So thinking generically about the funding, but also how that plays into kind of the annual processes that parks go through with the budget, with the capital improvement fund, with the kind of those various processes that SPRAB occasionally plugs into. Getting an overview of how that works from the staff and when that happens, so we can kind of have that into our annual planning. But then also, I think to Debbie's point, kind of where parks are in terms of master plan implementation, the status of master plans, right? Being able to kind of get an assessment of the status of those, and that might inform some of the ways we want to move forward in some of our activities.
Great. Rick, I saw your hand was up first, your physical hand before you put up your other one. So if you want to go first, then Al, and then Alan.
Yeah, I think Keith just mentioned what I wanted to mention, basically. And that is that, you know, it's great to look at information about upcoming master plans, but where are we with the master plans we have? What's been done, what hasn't been done, how much of this can be taken care of if the new bond passes, you know, it's great to have master plans, but if we don't ever realize them, I was talking to somebody today who said that, you know, they had a master plan for, I can't remember which park it was. He said, but it took 5, 6 years, 7 years before a lot of it got done. And so it'd be really great to have an update in terms of the master plans we do have that are active and where they are and how much, you know, what we're going to need and how we can get it. You know, funding is always a big issue. So.
Great point. Al?
I think it'll come organically from who's there, but Chris Hoy has spoken with me, and we've spoken about the problem of the lack of public swimming infrastructure. We have no public pool. It's a sore spot for a state capital. And Chris is aware of this, and I would like him to address how a funding source can be created. He mentioned something to me about a special district, and other cities have that to pay for their public pools, and we are lacking that. And I'm interested to hear from him what that is and what it would take and how to get that started. It's something that needs to be done. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And then Alan Alexander, I think you had your hand up as well, right? Oh, you're on mute still, Alan. Alan.
I think this would be an opportunity for us to hear a little more about SDCs and how they're used. I've asked twice since I've been on the board, what's their balance of SDCs? And I've never gotten an answer. I finally went in the city budget to figure it out, but that's sort of an unusual way to get an answer. And we're talking about the upcoming bond measure, and we've talked about several things that are strong candidates for that, but maybe we get a little more definition about what projects could we, if it were to pass, what projects could we expect to be funded? Maybe that's asking too much, I'm not too sure.
And I think, Dylan, that is right. All of those requests are a lot, potentially for staff to pull together, and a lot for a 3 hours worth of time that we have. But I think to the extent that we can start to touch on some of those items or start to put those items in a more regular status update, that kind of provides a bigger picture, comprehensive status update for our park system. I think that could be helpful to our efforts to help advance the parks, right? If we know more about the status of where parks are, that empowers us to be able to actually go to city council and ask for the things that are needed to help advance the parks and advise city council on what needs to be done to implement those park master plans when we know more about what their status is. So I think that whether or not all of that can be accomplished in this 3-hour retreat, I don't know, but I think it's worthwhile to have kind of those, to find, maybe we can use this retreat to find an opportunity where we can regularly be updated on those things.
I think that's absolutely right. I think the hope here is that we all walk away on the board side, knowing, having a better sense of what our roles and expectations are as board members and how we can be a little bit more engaged thinking in the community as we can use the meetings more effectively. And then I think hopefully for staff, we can think about what are some of the things we'd all like to see, and then how can we fit that in a way that makes sense with their workload. And like you said, we're not just throwing it all into one meeting, but figure out how to spread this out so it works for everyone. And what are those core items? So this is a really good list. I see some definite through lines that we can work through. So I can work with Jen and Rob on kind of piecing this together, especially for that first session. And then if people have other ideas or suggestions, you can send those to Rob or Jen or myself, and send it through the city just based on the protocols. And we can make sure to integrate that as well. And we will have one more SPRAD meeting before the retreat next month. So we'll have another chance to revisit this as well. Any other thoughts on that before we move on from the retreat for now? All right.
Dylan, can you remind us of the date?
Yes. Now I don't want to get it wrong. So hold on. Let me.
28th.
Okay.
October 28th. Thanks.
It is a Friday, so we can send out we can send out that agenda as well for folks, but I'll put some work into that in the meantime to make sure we're ready to go. Well, that is our agenda for tonight. Right at the hour mark, roughly. Is there anything else folks would like to raise under new business before we adjourn? Yes, Jen.
It's not new business in the sense, it's just something I probably should have shared in the information. And before we close, I was at the Salem Parks Foundation meeting last Thursday night. They meet the week before you folks. And one of the things they were asking if I could pass along, speaking of parks and trying to raise money and for the good of the parks, they're doing their annual Pinot for the Parks that they've had the last, I think this might be the 11th time that the Parks Foundation has put on to raise funds for the parks. It's Friday, September 23rd from 5 to 7. And I'm happy to provide the address and all of that, or I can send out a separate email as a follow-up to SPRAB members individually. I just wanted to put it on your radar because we wouldn't have another meeting before this transpires. And I had told them that I would share that. They're trying to certainly get the word out since it is a fundraising effort. And so it's $100 a person, but I'll send out a follow-up email. I just wanted to kind of throw it out for folks to kind of put it on their radar.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Anything else folks would like to raise before we adjourn? Okay, well, our next meeting will be October 13th. I'm excited about our retreat next month as well. Please keep the ideas coming and things you want to talk about there. It'll be a great opportunity for us to dive into that. But for now, I hope you have a great rest of your September, and I will see you all in a month. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.